Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the point
with Jason Carey. About time to get this thing started.
Running the point with Jason Carey. Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network, man. It's about the time to get that thing started. And we got to start it. You know what we got to do? We got to say the grace. We say our grace. We got to thank everybody for listening to us. You're competing for ears. We're competing for ears. You can listen to anybody, but you take the time to listen to me, to listen to us. And we appreciate you. Definitely, man. Hey, this season is going and it's shaping up. I was going to tell BT how it shaped up. It's funny how this thing shaped up this season. I don't think it was intentional at all. But it shaped up in a way where we're talking to business owners, black-owned businesses, and talking about an array of things, the customer's business and all of that. And we're talking to some powerful women. We've been talking to some great women. So without further ado, I got to bring my guest on today. My guest today has been featured across the board. Black Enterprise, Essence, all the top magazines and digital platforms. Very modest person, but I want to shine a little light on her, but also just have some conversation about business and the industry that she's in. So I want to welcome and congratulate, because we got champagne today. So let's go ahead and toast up and congratulate to success. Congratulations. Welcome, Ms. Cole Banks, y'all. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was a great introduction.
Look, you gotta have me come with you everywhere. That's what
you can.
Have me travel.
Pack your suitcase.
You know. Definitely gotta pack a suitcase for this young lady. She is, what's the name of the company?
Sisters Traveling Solo.
Yes. So, and if you've ever followed her on social media, you'll see her all over the country and not sure where she lives. She's like, I'm not really sure. Are you an expatriate? Do you not live in the States? I don't know.
I know. That's the crazy part. I'm in Atlanta probably 4 days. 4 days a week. Every other week.
4 days a week. But let's go back before we get Sisters Traveling Solo. That in itself is a conversation.
Yes.
Sisters Traveling Solo. People have a hard time going to the movies by themselves in their own city at their local movie theater. And you're talking about getting on a plane with your passport, going to a country that you may or may have never been to by yourself. I encourage solo travel. I encourage travel, period. First of all, let's start with getting a passport. Let's start there. my people don't have. That's the thing about living abroad. Those people, a lot of them have passports. Mm-hmm. It's children. But we in our 40s and 50s and be like, man, I ain't never had a passport. My dad don't have a passport.
Well, that's one of the things we do. We actually give a free passport away every month.
You give a free passport away?
A free passport. 100% funded. Every single thing we cover. The application, the photos, everything.
Wow.
Every month.
So let's, what's the driving force? What's the driving force for Sisters Traveling Solo? Why?
Well, I think just to go back, why I started the company or the Facebook community, which is what we was before we started the company. Before, I was traveling by myself. You know, you say, you know, people don't go to movies by themselves. So how can you expect them to travel the world by themselves? But my thing is, I just want people to stop waiting on others to do what they want to do.
Whether that's traveling. BT, you got to tell me to bring the bell.
Whether that's traveling by themselves, whether that's going to the movies by themselves, just putting yourself first, right? Mm. So that's why we started the community, because I travel solo, but also in our community, people are going to the movies solo. They're going to the concerts by themselves, and they're actually having a good time and enjoying themselves and discovering that, hey, I can do these things by myself. I don't have to wait on my friends. I don't have to wait on that husband. I don't have to wait on that boyfriend to do the things that I want to do. So that's why we started the community, just to encourage and inspire and support women to stop putting others first and start putting yourself first and doing the things that you want to do.
And that's probably a challenge just for ladies in general. It's kind of in your DNA to put everybody first.
But you know how on a plane, you know, they say put your oxygen mask on first. Because if you can't do it, if you can't get yourself right, how are you going to take care of others?
Facts.
Right?
Ding.
So
champagne. Drink it.
So that's what our group is all about, just encouraging women. And also, I think in the Black community, it's important for us to be exposed to different things. So what our group, our Facebook group does is expose women to other women that are actually doing it themselves as well. Exposure is a big part of that too.
Showing other women that we're out here, that hey, you're not by yourself.
Yeah.
Which is key, yeah. I think that's the good thing about some of the Facebook groups. Some Facebook groups go left.
Exactly.
Facebook groups are very big in Atlanta. I don't know what they are in your city, but Facebook groups have a very positive impact here in Atlanta. But that is one of the good parts. You'd be like, wait a minute, I'm not by myself. I recently added my sister to a couple of Facebook groups that I was in just to expand her social circle. Mm-hmm. She lives in a city that she's not from. I was like, hey, man, here's a way for you to start meeting some other people and doing some other things. Because a lot of times we're dynamic individuals and you don't even have people. You think there's nobody like you.
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
Like, man, nobody in your circle may not be like you, but there's another circle that you can get in. So,
exactly. Exactly.
So you started as just a Facebook group.
Yes. So I was reading, it was a solo travel article posted online, and somebody in the comments said, you know, Black women shouldn't travel solo. So I was like, well, I travel solo. I know my friends and other travel industry travel solo. And I know there has to be other women out there that do it as well. So I started the community just as a way for people to find the other people that look like them or think like them that aren't, you know, in their current circle. So that's why we started the Facebook group. And over the last 3 years, it's grew to 70,000 members. So it has to say something.
Jesus, 70,000 people.
70,000 women.
Some of y'all looking with your looking self. I need y'all to participate. Don't just be in the group. 70,000 people.
70,000 people.
And you wanted people started talking about trips on your page, which people, again, I had a whole thing about Black customers today. Because y'all keep on bashing Black businesses. Yes. So I'm fighting back, and we're gonna talk about the Black customers, see that we both got a part. Being positive,
exactly.
We both have a part in this,
exactly.
In this journey. It's not a fight; it's a journey, and we gotta. There's a change in narrative, but anyway, that's the sidebar. I get sidetracked sometimes. It's okay. It's called a tangent. It's okay. Just go with me. they started talking on your page. Hey, go on my trip. I know this is not my page, but I got a trip, and y'all talking about traveling. Well, come with us in my 22 people. And what was your reaction to that?
I said, you know, if people are going to advertise in the space that we created, then we need to advertise our own trips. So that's where the company aspect came into. And then also what we were seeing is that people still wanted to travel in groups. So essentially you're still solo, because the way it works is you meet up in another country and you don't know the people on the trip. So you're traveling to that country solo. So we started the company in 2007. And in 2007, we hosted 2 group trips. And then in 2008, we did 8 group trips. This year, we have 20. And next year, we're projected for 24 trips.
Wow.
So our business has grown really fast, really quick. And it's all been organic. I know we've been featured in Essence and Black Enterprise and Money Magazine, but that was after we reached.
Wait a minute. Don't just flex on people. Just leave it there. She said featured in Money Magazine. Start with that. Money Magazine. And some of y'all don't even know what that is. Go look at it. Black Enterprise.
And Essence. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're not going to just gloss over that kind of stuff, because you started a business on your own. And where it was able to do that. So
I say that too, because, you know, I don't try to gloss over it, but I say, you know, we built the business organically. Mm-hmm. So those businesses came to us after we hit the 50,000 mark as far as, 50,000 member mark on Facebook. And after we sold out all our trips, you know, for the prior year, because our trips usually sell out a year in advance, is also how it works. So
let's get into that, because you have a corporate background.
I do.
And you have a degree. Where did you go to school?
I went to Florida Southern in Lakeland, and then Weber University in Lake Wales. So I actually have three different degrees.
You see how she just like kind of just flex a little bit and like sprinkle it. So you got three degrees.
Yes.
And so you went into corporate America.
Yes.
You were working at one of America's biggest brands. Where were you working?
Coca-Cola.
Okay. So you were at Coca-Cola. And I'm going somewhere with this. So you degrees, worked at Coca-Cola, but you had a passion for traveling.
I did.
And a passion, obviously a passion for people a little bit. Whether you think it or not, it's a little bit of passion for people as well.
Yes.
And so you decided to leave that. What was that decision like?
Honestly, the decision was kind of forced on me because our business grew so fast, so quick. I say this in the Money Magazine article. You know, I love my job at Coca-Cola. I had a great career. I was projected to keep moving forward. But I had to leave because the business just grew. I think when you have a passion for something and you put a lot into it, just it grows and it just, I don't know what happened. It just blew up. So I had to leave Coca-Cola because I ran out of vacation days. Like I told you, we went from hosting eight trips in 2018 to now hosting 20 trips in 2019. So I couldn't attend all those trips and still have a corporate job.
True. And somebody be like, hey, we got a pile of work over here that you ain't done none of it. And why you over here in Morocco?
Exactly.
All these locations that
like,
I
literally,
can't go.
I walked out. I talked to my boss and I was like, hey, this is when I want to leave. But we backed it up and said, hey, you have to leave earlier because you don't have enough vacation days. So in August 20 of last year, I left. The day after I left, I was on a plane to China. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's just how I work. I left corporate America this day. The next day I was on a plane in China because we had another group trip. So
that's how you celebrate. That's how you celebrate leaving corporate America. I just grew a beard. That's all I did. That's how I celebrated. I grew a beard because I couldn't have a beard in my corporate job.
So it's been a good journey. I like corporate America. I have a business background, so I like a lot of things about corporate America. But I just couldn't do both anymore.
And I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times people think that entrepreneurs are looking down or bashing corporate America, but we have all, corporate America actually is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left corporate America, I made a mistake, and I tell people anytime that I left a little bit too early because I didn't have the perspective that my corporate job was my capital. I saw it as an obstacle. I didn't see it as the capital to build my business, my brand, or whatever I wanted to do. I just saw that as, man, it's eating up my time.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be gone. And when I left corporate America, I was like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do today. I got a full day. So I had to figure out, I did it backwards, you know what I'm saying? I had to figure out what to do with 24 hours a day, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, I was complaining about them 8 hours. Oh well, 20 hours I was working, but
that's crazy. But you know, entrepreneurs, they do that all the time. They look at people who are working a 9-to-5 and look down on them like, oh, you're like a slave to your job or whatever. But you think about it, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, if nobody wants a 9-to-5, who's going to work for you?
True. That's
right? Everybody has their place. And I love corporate America. Like, my perks at Coca-Cola was just crazy. My perks at Coca-Cola allowed me to build this company because of the flexibility and the time off and the money that I had to not worry about if I was investing too much over here or if I was losing money over there. Mm-hmm. I worked for Publix corporate before this, and when I was working with them, I wouldn't have been able to build the business to where it was.
Yeah.
But transitioning to Coke and all the flexibility that it had and all the money and all the time I spent building my career to a certain point where I had enough money to invest in the business, you know, was a big thing. It was a game changer.
And so then being smart. Be smart.
And then also being able to know, okay, well, I'm probably going to have to leave. I didn't think I was going to have to leave as soon as I did, but I'm probably going to have to leave in 2 years. So let's start putting more into savings and let's start thinking about downsizing now and using Coke as like my cushion. So I'm not stressing about money, making money as an entrepreneur because the first 2 years I didn't.
Downsizing. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. People want to be like, man, I need 4 bedrooms. They'd be like, don't. Mm-hmm. You might can do this with 2 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need 700 channels. Maybe you need 7.
Or just
you
Netflix. I mean?
Yeah.
You just need Netflix.
And that, those are also little details. How people always be like, man, I need more money. I need more money at the job. I need to get 3 jobs. Maybe you just need to change your lifestyle a little bit. And that'll increase your income, your yearly income that quick. Or yearly revenue. And people need to... that's a little detail that you said you just talked about in entrepreneurship. Because we talk about that, how there are little things that you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Especially as a new entrepreneur. Things I didn't know. But
you know you need money.
You know you need money. And sometimes you can find money in your own house.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, I sold CDs. I sold everything.
But sometimes you have to be willing to step back, right?
Yeah.
So... you're going from a corporate life where you were really comfortable and you made a certain amount of money. Now you're going to this entrepreneur thing and it can be unstable at times.
Mm-hmm.
So that transition, sometimes you have to step back.
Yes.
And allow yourself to build that business to become a stable income. I think people just want to jump and maintain the same lifestyle. You cannot always do that.
And I think part of that also is because you're worried about the image of other people. And
yeah.
You got, as an entrepreneur, you got to let go of that. Man, live in a one-room apartment and live. You know what I'm saying? And be cool with it if that's what you got to do. Everybody don't have to do it, but if that's what you got to do, do it.
Yeah, I think some of that, too, comes from other people. People... On the internet the other day, somebody was talking about, you know, if you're a boss, because our business has made $1 million last year. Over the last 2 years, we made $1 million in revenue. That's revenue.
Not profit. But
not profit.
I understand. I totally understand. But $1 million has run through your company.
It has run through our company.
Wow.
So, you know, the...
Man, major... I didn't know. That's a fun fact. I didn't know that.
That's why we're in Money Magazine.
Huh?
that's why we're in Money Magazine.
That's awesome, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, and we're projected to do $1 million this year. But people look at that, especially from the outside, and say, well, if your business is making $1 million, you should be living a certain way. I'm like, no. My business is making $1 million, but I'm living the way I need to continue to grow my business into $1 billion into, you know, continue to grow, to reinvest in my business. I'm not reinvested in myself or the material things that don't add any value to me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a mindset.
Part of entrepreneurship is mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
A huge part of it.
Exactly.
That's one thing I had to make a decision in the beginning that, I'm going to lose some things. I may lose some friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose some possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I might lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not ready to do that, don't do it.
Yeah. Are you going to struggle?
Yeah.
Right? Are you going to struggle big time? Because it's like, okay, do I invest in this new car? Or do I invest in my business? Or do I increase my savings in case something goes wrong with my business?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a mindset.
That's major. Why should people travel in general? Just people.
I think exposure. Mm-hmm. Exposure to new things just changes everything. Like I said, our group was built for a couple of reasons, you know, to encourage women, but also to expose women of color to other women that are doing things that they've never seen them do before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because early on, you know, back in my tribal group days when I was in every single tribal group, I was looking at these women traveling to Africa and I'm like, oh, I never even... That didn't, like 10 years ago, that never even registered to me to travel to Africa. But I see all these beautiful pictures of South Africa, you know, Egypt and all these other places.
Egypt is in Africa, y'all.
Egypt is in Africa.
I know they're trying to separate it. I'm trying to let y'all know that Egypt is in Africa.
It's in Africa. Okay. So I think people should travel just for exposure. And it changes your whole, you know, you have to go into it with an open mind. You can't go into it with this American mindset.
Oh, my God.
That this is how it should be or... We don't do this.
It's okay.
In
this could be a little ass toilet over there. I'm sorry. It's gonna be a little toilet.
Exactly. Or this room is a little. In Europe, the rooms are a little smaller. So it's just like you can't go in. You got to go into it with an open mind.
Because we are excessive as Americans.
English.
Often. I ain't complaining. I ain't got no problem with America. I got the place. There's some things we don't do right, but the place I'm cool with.
Yes.
To that point, I and this is kind of a tangent, but I know you travel around the world. I travel around the world a lot, but there's a lot of cool domestic places to travel to.
There is.
This is a big country.
It is.
And so when you said that traveling changed your mindset, I think that is what I think that's just your perspective changes once you go and see a couple of things.
Yeah.
Other thing that changes, and this is my opinion, so I just want to get your opinion. When you go travel abroad, you notice there's a whole lot of us everywhere. It's a lot of brown and black people everywhere, and it gets lesser of the other when you go other places, and that feels kind of empowering to me. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. But have you noticed that?
You're talking about traveling?
Like not the people traveling. I'm talking about you go to a country. You go to other countries, and you be like, wait, it's a lot of black and brown folks people. Everywhere.
Yeah, I do notice that. Yeah, in certain places. And Paris is one of the big ones. I'm like, oh, I didn't know there was many of this black people. You don't think about it, but you see a lot of brown people, and like, oh, this is kind of refreshing.
Correct. And because there's a mentality that we were taught that of inferiority in our country. But to me, when I go to other countries and see that the man that's running the boat, that's running the store, that's running everything, the most people I see is us. And I'm like, that's probably why they started teaching that inferiority, because they went around, they were sailing around the world and noticing, these brown people is everywhere. I better tell them that they ain't nothing, because,
exactly.
And so my people, I always want to give them that confidence. But that's why I think that people should travel, because it definitely changes your perspective. I think it actually makes you a little calmer. Because the things that you worry about at home or the stressors, they become less stressful. Yeah.
It's less stressful in other, like I was just in Jamaica, and it's just less stressful in other places outside the U.S. I think people need to just get out the U.S. just because it's just stressful. And it's just like, you don't realize it till you go to another country and be like, oh.
This man eats chicken kebabs every day and rice, and he's totally fine.
He's totally fine.
I was in Greece and Dubai. I was like, these people are just, they're okay. They're just eating chicken and pita bread and living their life. And again, you don't know what their stresses are, but it's less choices, so I ain't got to worry about it. I just don't want them to eat.
I was just in Paris a couple of weeks ago, and we were outside of Paris, a little small town. It was just like, this is like a little small town, not that many people. Life just seems to be easy. Go to one bakery store, one grocery store, and one restaurant.
Go back home.
And then go back home. And it was just so calm. I was like, oh, okay.
So here's the great mystery that I'm not sure that you'll have the answer for, but I got to ask you. The great mystery. You, of course, your business is focused on ladies traveling. So ladies traveling, period.
Yes.
But what is the secret to get more men to travel?
You need to tell me that.
Huh?
You need to tell me that.
I don't know.
Men don't. I think... we had this conversation a lot in different travel groups, and of course, you ask the man, like, why don't you travel? But I think it's because it's because men do not travel with other men that they do not know. Women will do that. I can have 20 women on a trip. Those 20 women never knew each other. They'll become friends by the end of the trip. I don't think men will travel like a group of men. You can travel as long as you know each other, but 20 different men coming together to go on a group trip, I don't think that.
So men should take solo trips as well.
Men do take solo trips as well. Men take solo trips all the time.
I feel like even that, I hear dudes be like, man, I've heard men say, I ain't got nobody to go with. And I'd be like, sir, you know that Tiffany said that too. I just don't want you to say what the girl over there said. Patrice over there was saying that she ain't going because she ain't got nobody. So I've heard guys say that, and I encourage guys to just in life, I think, step off the pier a little bit and just try some things. But I will say there's a couple of factors. Of course, we do know there are a lot of men that can't get passports due to child support challenges. That happens. That's in every culture, not just black culture. Every culture, there are men that can't get passports. But there are some places that you go to, you don't need a passport. Mm-hmm. But they just forget about it because they can't do that. That's a challenge. Also, for men that are dating, single men that are dating, that's a bill. That's a bill. So that's a challenge that, females may not have. I'm not making excuses. I'm saying these are things that are happening. But also, the big thing, I think, is guys, women that get a point person, be like, hey, girl, this is it. There's a trip. We're going over to such and such. It costs this much. Here's the payments, and I'm going to remind you. Dudes be like, hey, dog, send me the information. And they don't never, ever, ever follow up. It'd be the week before, be like, oh, man, I forgot, dog. I'm like, but you do the same thing. You and the bar smoking a cigar every weekend. You can spend $150 on liquor every Saturday night. You could have put that towards this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think these guys, they need somebody to hold their hand. And that's just...
Well, to go back on that point, you know, I think women do the same thing, right? Because okay. That's how solo travel works. You start with 10 people. I want to go. Tell them the price. Nobody ends up paying.
Mm.
So that's how most of the people get on my trips, because they're like, oh, okay.
That's how I end up solo. Because it started out as a group trip.
They started as a, I mean, but doesn't it happen like that all the time? Okay, yeah. We want to go X, and yeah. Then all of a sudden it's time to make that payment, and everybody's like, oh, well, I got light bill due this week. Everybody has different priorities. That's what I tell people. If you're going to wait on people, you're going to keep on waiting, because everybody has a different priority, right? Right. This trip may be my priority, but, you know, my friend's priority may be making sure her kid gets to school and has lunch money for the week, or whatever the case that may, mm-hmm. Whatever that may be. So, you know... That's why I think solo travel is so important, whether you do it by yourself or whether you do it, you know, with a group like mine's, just getting out there and doing what you want to do.
I also think that traveling in general, but these solo trips that women are with you,
mm-hmm.
I think them being submerged in the culture
mm-hmm.
as well, just makes you more interesting. I think it actually makes you interesting because mm-hmm. you have some more knowledge. You have things to have a mm-hmm. conversation about. And I always tell, I hear women talk about dating in general, or men too. I hear you guys talking about dating, but you're generally just not that interesting because you haven't been anywhere. You don't know anything. You don't read. You know what I'm saying? It's just in general, it's not a lot of conversation to be had with you, sir, ma'am, you know? And I think that is another reason I asked the other question, why should people travel? And I think that's one of the many things. If you're not going to read, go see it, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you usually attract the same people on the same level. So if I'm not traveling, he's probably not traveling, you know, mm-hmm. same entrance. But I think that's why I get, you know, people say I have the dream job, and I guess I do, because mm-hmm. I literally get to go to a new country every other week
yeah.
and then do experience all these things that my customer get to experience. But the one thing that we try to do is make sure that we have a diverse range of trips. So we have traditional trips, but then we also have like more cultural trips that allow our customers to get more merged into the culture. So like if we're going to Ghana, not just a photo op with somebody, but understanding how they actually live and actually doing the things that they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one thing about our cultural trips is we support only women-owned businesses.
Oh, wow.
So we give all our money back to a woman-owned tour company who then also brings on local women-owned businesses. So to date, we supported women-owned businesses to the tune of $250,000 in Africa. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's one of our big things is too.
So you're also contributing to the
exactly.
country.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
So it's layers. It's not just hosting a trip, which everybody just wants to host a trip, but it's also building a travel company and then making an impact as well.
And you think that's important? But all these travel groups out there, should we be adding something other than the turn up? Should we be adding something else? Those who don't speak the language, that's the party.
But it depends on the purpose of your group, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different purpose. There are so many tribal groups out there mm-hmm. now that it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, and right now, we didn't want to be another Facebook tribal group.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last year, we transitioned to a tribal company. So that's why we can look back
it's
and say, yeah, it's a difference. Mm-hmm. Now we can look back and say, hey, well, this is how, you know, if we're bringing in $1 million, this is how we can make an impact in different countries. We can support only women-owned businesses in Africa. We can give away a free passport, which I started a free passport out of my own pocket when I first started a Facebook group. But now it's funded by the company, of course.
Awesome.
But, you know, doing things like that on different layers. So not just building in a travel company, but how do we give back as well?
So, and you've said it in a couple of different ways, but there's so many travel groups. Why should somebody choose to travel with your group?
Oh, that's a good question. I think there's room for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But I think you need to look at who you're traveling with, what their mission is, what their purpose is. Is it a positive space? The one thing about our group and people, somebody just posted last night, is this is the most positive space on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have drama. We don't invite drama. My admin team works really hard to make sure that my Facebook group is a reflection of me and my brand. And that's the same how my company works. I'm very transparent. I don't have time for the drama. Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z, you're going to get X, Y, and Z. And we deliver on that every single time. So,
okay. And so there's abundance of people that want to get into travel. They want to start travel groups,
yes.
Travel trips, travel business, yes. Travel company. There's layers of this, yes. This travel industry. What? How many money? You said it's a billion.
It's a $1 trillion, $8 trillion industry.
$8 trillion industry.
African Americans have spent 63 million. Or billion.
So a piece of the pie.
A piece of the pie, $63 billion.
And people want to get a part of this, but what are some of the pitfalls or some of the mistakes that people make when they try to get into the travel business?
I think the first one is thinking because you hosted, you did one family trip that you can take other people's money and, and plan a trip.
Woo!
Right? It's not
taking
a hobby.
People money.
It's not a hobby. It's not a hobby. I mean, you have to love planning. You have to love details. So that, you know, that one trip with your family, just because your family allows you to do the family reunion, you're dealing with people's money and people's expectation. And that can be pretty dangerous if you don't deliver on what they ask. That can lead to a lot of suits. So, so that's one of the biggest pitfalls.
Legal problems.
It leads to legal problems.
Nobody wants legal problems.
Exactly. So you have to make sure you're really doing it for the right reason and not so much for the money. And you have to be a true planner, which a lot of people want to start it because, hey, oh, my family or my friends say I should start it. But you know, the funny thing is, just because 10 of your friends are like, hey, I want to go on that group trip, what happens is those 10 people don't go on that group trip when you plan it. Mm-hmm. So that leads back to solo travel, right? So you have to think about all those things. You're starting a company because 10 people said, oh, you should plan our trips, but those 10 people might not go. I have 70,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Only 500 of them are my actual customers.
Wow. Wow. What's the largest trip?
Largest trip I think we did was 20-25.
Which is good, though.
We don't do big trips because it's all about the experience and people connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have a smaller trip, do multiple smaller trips, than to do like one big trip.
But that's major to say that the largest trip was 25 people,
yes.
And $1 million have gone through the company.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so you guys do the math and just think about that as also being very efficient with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But people, again, see something else. They don't see the business. They don't really mm-hmm. see how it works. And they be like, man, I need 7,000 people go on my trip. I'm like, do you know what it takes to manage 7,000 people? To manage 20 people. Personalities.
Women.
Oh, Lord. Yes. More power to you. What's the website?
SistersTravelingSolo.com. And then also we have a Sisters in Travel Conference. So we're hosting a travel conference in Atlanta, October 26th. So people want to learn things about, you know, how I grew our profitable travel brand. So if you want to go from just hosting that one trip or doing those one trips here and there to transitioning from like a 9-to-5 to a corporate job, it's a great way to hear my story and me share some details on that. Mm-hmm. Also things like living abroad and then traveling on a budget. So definitely check out our conference that's going to be in Atlanta.
Can men come to this conference?
Yes. Anybody can come to the conference.
Just want to make sure that's out there. That's
October 26th at the Marriott Marquis.
So y'all guys can actually come, fellas.
Yes.
Let me give you a little hint too, fellas. As women putting on the conference, should probably go to the conference. I feel like y'all got to tell guys this stuff. Like, you be smart. You like intelligent women, go to stuff where intelligent women are.
Exactly.
Stop looking for them in the wrong places.
Exactly.
Anyway, and social media, somebody wants to follow you on social media, follow the company,
follow
her, because that's, you'd be trying to email her in the middle of the night, call the company.
Exactly. It's Sisters Traveling Solo. Everything we do is under Sisters Traveling Solo.
Sisters Traveling Solo, and they have merchandise and, man, support. And anybody that has traveled with her, please put up a positive review, because we quick to down when somebody does something bad, but you don't ever tell nobody when they do good. So go ahead and please do a positive review. Thank you so much for being here. I like to keep the conversation because I want to keep people interested. So I don't like, we could talk, you and I could talk for hours.
Yeah,
and
we
stay
probably
on,
could, yes.
Yeah, and I don't want to, I want y'all to be able to go to the next episode too. So thank you for being here with us. Make sure you follow her, follow Journey. Go out there and read the articles, because that's a level of support too. If you go out in Essence and be like, I read this article, and share the article,
mm-hmm.
That's a level of support as well. So any way you can support her, please, you guys can go out there and do that. Make sure you follow Jason804. That's my Instagram, Twitter. I'm back on Twitter heavy, man. Use your words. I'm back on Twitter, Instagram, DJSN804 on Snapchat. I don't really use it because you're probably not my customer. and Facebook as well. Follow ATLPN. Go to ATLPN.com. Click on that. You can check out all the shows. This is also a BOB, Black-owned business as well. Black-owned business, Black-owned service. So go ahead to ATL Podcast Network and listen to all the shows, and follow ATL Podcast Network. Shout out to my man, BT. BT is the founder, owner, editor, and everything, man. He got a good team, but that's my man, so I'll make sure I shout him out as well. Thank you for providing the service. And, hey, man, we're here. JasonCarey.net. Go to the website anytime and listen to me on Monday nights live on JC Squared on the air. That's enough selling. You know what it is. We got to get out of here. ATL Podcast Network.